This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Today, I am going to be talking about kayfabe and how it affects mainstream media and independent media. And I'm going to use references from the Fresh and Fit podcast, and I'm going to use references from just public politics. And how it all comes together. All right, before you get started, I want everybody to like and subscribe to my podcast. My Instagram is BlackHage840. On my Instagram, on my Instagram, you'll see my bios. It has my Twitch, it has my podcast link, and it also has my Twitter account. Okay, so let's get started. In professional wrestling, kayfabe, as a noun, is a portrayal of stage events within the industry as real or true, specifically in the portrayal of competition, rivalries, and relationships between principal participants as being genuine and not staged. The term kayfabe has evolved to also become a code word of sorts for maintaining this reality within the direct or indirect presence of the general public. Kayfabe in the United States is often seen as a suspension of belief that is used to create non-wrestling aspects of promotions, such as feuds, angles, and gimmicks, in a manner similar to other forms of fictional entertainment. In relative terms, a wrestler breaking kayfabe during a show would be likened to an actor breaking character on camera. Since wrestling is performing live in front of an audience, whose interaction with the show is crucial to its success, kayfabe can be compared to the fourth wall in acting. Since hardly any control of the fourth wall exists to begin with, in general, everything in professional wrestling shows is to some extent scripted or kayfabe, even though at times it's portrayed as real life. Kayfabe was fiercely maintained for decades, but with the advent of internet wrestling community and the sports entertainment movement, the pro wrestling industry has become less concerned with protecting so-called backstage secrets and typically maintains kayfabe only during live shows. Kayfabe is, however, occasionally broken during shows, usually when dealing with genuine injuries during a match or paying tribute to wrestlers. European professional wrestling communities, the term kayfabe is used as a verb. Various sources have suggested different origins for the term kayfabe, but the actual origin is not known with uncertainty. One theory suggests that it was derived from a word manipulation of the term to be fake, Pig Latin or the Argots, designed to conceal the true meaning. Another theory claims there was a wrestler called Kay Fabian who was mute. Neither claim has ever been substantiated. Another theory suggests that the term derives from the expression of keep craving, from the Latin verb cravo, which means to look out for. This phrase was used throughout Britain and by the Jews living in East London between World War I and World War II. According to that theory, many U.S. promoters and wrestlers at the time were Eastern European origin, and many had heavy accents, leading to the term being transformed into kayfabe. The term was first documented in a 1937 book by the New York sports writer Marcus Griffin that describes some of the behind-the-scenes aspects of professional wrestling, suggesting that the term was already common use in professional wrestling by that time. While professional wrestling was been staged or planned from the time it was a SHOT Show attraction, the description nature of the performances has been hinted at over time. In 1934, a show held by Wrigley Field in Chicago billed as one of the matches as the last great shooting match, subsequently disclosing that other matches were kayfabe. In reality, even the shooting match was scripted. In 1957, comedian Groucho Marx described watching wrestlers practice that match, hinting at the scripted nature of professional wrestling. While the scripture nature of professional wrestling was an open secret, it was not generally acknowledged by the people in the business. Often wrestlers and promoters would make sure that on-screen rivals were not seen eating or traveling together between shows and so on. There was a few occasional hiccups at the time, such as an incident in 1987 when police arrested Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, supposed rivals in an upcoming match in Madison Square Garden, as they sat in a car together drinking and using cocaine. The first acknowledgement by a major insider of stage nature of professional wrestling came in 1989, when the World Wrestling Federation owner Vince McMahon testified before the New Jersey State Senate that wrestling was not a competitive sport. The dimension on McMahon's part was to avoid interference with state athletic commissions, to avoid paying taxation some states place on income for athletic events held in that state, as well as to avoid the need to meet the requirement for having to employ a medical professional standing by, as it was generally mandatory for legitimate contact sports involving substantial, possibly an injury. Faces and heels. The characters assumed by wrestlers can be distinguished into two elements, faces and heels. The short for baby faces are hero-type characters whose personalities are crafted to elicit the support of the audience through chase justice, humility, patriotism, a hard-working nature, determination, and reciprocal love of the crowd. Faces use their win their matches on the basis of their technical skills and sometimes portrayed as the underdogs to enhance the story. Heels are villainous and antagonistic characters whose personalities are crafted to elicit a negative response from the audience. They often embrace traditionally negative traits such as narcissism, egomania, unprompted rage, sadism, and general bitterness. Though not as prevalent today, xenophobic, ethnic, and racial stereotypes in particular, those by Axis power of World War II and communist countries during World War era, was commonly used in American wrestling as heel-defining traits. Another angle of the heel can be approached from a position of authority. Examples include Big Boss Man, a correction officer, Mike Rotunda as Irwin R. Shyster, a federal tax collector, Jacques Ragu wearing the RCMP-inspired dress as the Mountie, and Glenn Jacobs, later to become famous as Kane, as Isaac Yecum, a dentist. Heels can be also characters held in low self-esteem by the public, such as a repossession agent, a role played by Barry Dorso as the Repo Man. Heels is typically inspired boos from the audience and often employ underhand tactics, such as cheating, exploiting technicalities in their fighting strategies, or overly aggressive styles to cause the perception of excess pain or injury to their opponents. A wrestler may change from face to heel or vice versa in an event known as a turn, or gradually transition from one to the other over a course of a long storyline. Wrestlers like Andre the Giant, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage could work across the entire spectrum and often gain new fans as a result of each turn. Yeah. Matches are usually organized between a heel and a face, but the distinction between the two types may be blurred as a given character storyline reaches a peak or becomes more complicated. In recent years, several wrestlers became characters that were neither faces or heels, but somewhere in between, or alternating between both, and earning them the term tweener. Despite wrestlers' character settings, the crowd not react accordingly. It may be due to booking issues or particular crowd's tendency to react positively to heels and negatively, or at least a different manner to faces. The divide can be separated by fan demographics, where older male fans tend to cheer for the heels and boo faces. The kids and female fans tend to cheer for the faces and boo the heels, especially with John Cena and Roman Reigns. Relationships. Many storylines make use of kayfabe romantic relationships between two performers. Very often, both participants have other real-life relationships, and the relationship between the two is simply a storyline. However, more than once, kayfabe romantic relationships have occurred alongside real-life relationships, such as between Matt Harley and Lita. These real-life relationships have occasionally developed into real-life marriage. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, who married in 2003, more than a year after their kayfabe marriage ended. During the 21st century, the kayfabe practice has given way to reality in WWE, largely due to the reality television program Total Divas and Four Legit Weddings have occurred. Natalya and Tyson Kidd, Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan, Naomi and Juni Oso, and Eve Marie and their fiancé Jonathan. In TNA, after America Wolves disbanded, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards and their legit wives, Alicia Evers and Angela Love Richards, wrestled against each other. The tag team of wrestlers who may or may not look alike often perceived as relatives, though they're not actually related. Examples include the Brothers of Destruction, Undertaker and Kane, the Holly Cousins, Hardcore Holly, Crash Holly, and Molly Holly, and the Dudley Brothers. The brother tag team concept was commonly used during territory years as a means to develop young talent by pairing them with a veteran wrestler, giving a younger wrestler a rub by virtue of association, such as the Valiant Brothers or the Fargo Brothers, where none of the brothers were actually related. A wrestler or promotion uses kayfabe in regards to injuries in one of two ways. Selling a fake injury as part of a storyline, or they come up with a storyline reason to explain the absence of someone due to legitimate injury. Sometimes a wrestler can keep off the souls to demonstrate the severity of what happened to them previously as a part of the storyline. Prior to the spread of the internet, this was a common tactic used to explain the absence of a wrestler when said wrestler would tour Japan, was unable to appear on specific shows. If a wrestler was on a show after a brutal attack, they would sell the injury by limping or having a hard bandage and so on. In other instances, when a wrestler was legitimately injured during a match or during training, a storyline would play like where a heel will attack a wrestler and injure them to give the impression the injury is due to the attack. This would normally lead to the injured wrestler returning later on to settle the score. Promoters have used injury incidents that led to injuries or extreme cases death as a way to heal even more hated and unpopular. In 1971, Albert Torres died days after wrestling Ox Baker. Evidence indicate that Torres died of a ruptured appendix. Baker's heart punch finishing move was the kayfabe reason. The death was working to Baker's wrestling persona by the promoters, making Baker the most hated heel at the territory in the time. Acts exploiting personal tragedy or death became less and less prevalent during by the turn of the century, with fans being more aware of the work nature of professional wrestling. On the other hand, due to risk involved in professional wrestling, some measures are still in place to let the crowd and commentators know if wrestlers are legitimately injured in serious dangerous spots. The wrestler receiving the damage can squeeze the opponent or referee in short chomping, but giving a gums up away to the crowd. If they cannot do so in a timely manner, the referee has to put a cross behind their heads to signal for medical help during the match. Unless the whole procedure is deliberately done as part of the match, like when Kurt Angle, as part of the Shield, as Roman Reigns' replacement, took a running power slam from Braun Strowman through the table, taking off the match 15 minutes before running to win against The Miz, Cesaro, Sheamus, and Kane. Wrestlers being publicly fired is a popular storytelling device. Often to fire wrestlers to return under a mask or earn their job back through the match. In the days in the National Wrestling Alliance, territories were the height where some wrestlers would travel from territory to territory, often using the loser leaves town to match to wrap up a storyline in a specific territory. At times, a wrestler will make a surprise debut for the company with the storyline presenting the wrestler in question will not actually work for the company. In the NXT era, however, kayfabe is the most broken post-match when a wrestler is promoted to the main roster, the rest of the roster applauding him, regardless of storyline relationships. Before then, these breaks are apparent when promoted from OVW, or they retire. The most solely the Undertaker broke kayfabe as mysterious dead man, and is hugged and kneeled down to offer his respects to Ric Flair on his retirement ceremony. Since then, Diabolus rivals The Miz and Brock Lesnar broke kayfabe in interviews on Twitter, applauding his decisions to retire. Although their rivalry resumed after Daniel Bryan returned to the SmackDown GM and escalated to a point where Daniel Bryan legitimately left Tekken Smack because of the Miz shoot that got personal. There's been several examples of breaking kayfabe throughout wrestling history, although exactly what constitutes breaking is not clearly defined. It is rare for kayfabe to be suspended with loyalty and events and knowledge is scripted. Often the break may be implied through the illusion. For example, a wrestler by his or her finishing. And standards tend to vary as what is the break. In the WWF during the Attitude Era, the line between kayfabe and reality is often blurred. With the growth of industry and exposure to the internet and DVD and videos, kayfabe may be broken more regularly. Whereas in the past, it's extremely rare for a wrestler or involved person to recognize the scripted nature of events or press or media. WWE, DVDs, and WWE.com routinely gives news and the knowledge of real life. In the case of the former, it was obscene adversaries and allies talking about each other and the angles and the storylines they work on, the opinions on them. WWE.com real life news is often given, which may contradict storylines. Before the Attitude Era and the advent of the event of the internet, publications such as WWF Magazine and television programs broke kayfabe only to acknowledge major real life events involving current retired wrestlers, such as death, for instance, the death of Ernie Roth, who was billed as the Grand Wizard of Wrestling, divorce, Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth, or knife death incidents such as the 1990 Parasun incident seriously injured Brutus Beefcake. Especially a said event means mass mainstream coverage. In addition, WWF top officials and employees were facing allegations of antibiotic steroid abuse and sexual harassment during the 1990s. Vince McMahon responded with videotaped comments defending his company and employees, and several full plays and advertisements rebutting the allegations appealed to WWF Magazine. In the reality era, especially after WrestleMania 30 and The Undertaker had his winning streak broken, in the era of social media, kayfabe is often broken when wrestlers go on tour. Feud and Stars, the storyline can be civil next to each other when they're not wrestling. Offering persona can be strikingly different from the in-ring character with less disapproval. Kayfabe has been broken many times, including in the Montreal Screwjob. The Montreal Screwjob was an infamous, unscripted professional wrestling incident that occurred in November 9, 1997 at the Survivor Series pay-per-view in Molson Center, where Vince McMahon and employees covertly manipulated the outcome between match and Bret Hart. Between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. The manipulation shoot screw job professional partners occurred without Hart's knowledge. As a result, he lost the title to Michaels in his last WWF before departing for rival promotion World Championship Wrestling. The screw job is generally believed to be an off-screen portrayal of Hart, who was one of WWF's long-tenured and most popular performers of all time. The Montreal Screwjob. I remember that. That's like a big storyline. Storylines becoming real life. Some instances, the use of kayfabe to protect the storyline or wrestle led to real life events mirroring the storylines. While working as a booker for WCW, Kevin Sullivan, an angle where a woman, Nancy Drew Sullivan, Sullivan's wife, both on screen and off, would leave his character for Chris Benoit. Sullivan assisted the two to travel together to prepare his kayfabe for the general public. resulted in Sullivan's wife leaving him for Benoit, then the two develop a real-life romantic relationship during the time together. Nancy ultimately married Benoit in 2000. Brian Pillman discovered a loose cannon persona for herself on WCW in 1996, conspiring with President Eric Bischoff and Booker Kevin Sullivan. Pillman's character was based entirely on a straddling fine line of kayfabe, presented as if he had legitimate problems with WCW management. He would engage in on-camera actions that seemed to be unscripted, even to other performers, and then breach kayfabe protocol when he addressed Sullivan as air as Booker Man. When Triple H and Stephanie McMahon entered kayfabe marriage in 1999, Triple H and McMahon started dating in real life and continued to do so after the on-screen marriage ended in 2002. The two eventually married in real life in 2003. The Catholic priest at the wedding, not aware of the workings of the wrestling, initially refused to marry the two when he found out about kayfabe webbing for a choir boy who was also a wrestling fan. Linda McMahon later said explaining the priest between WWE program and real life, allowing the marriage to go through. After the real-life marriage became an open secret on television by being acknowledged in Triple H in 2009. Real-life events are written into storylines. CM Punk's 29 pipe bomb has claimed that Vince McMahon has the potential to be a billionaire, when in fact, Vince was at one point before it was revealed he lost $750 million of his $1.6 billion net worth and losing $350 million a day during the WWE's overvalued stock price and lower than expected WWE network subscribers. His network career stands at a reported $2 billion. He also preferred to John Cena and Cena's beloved Boston-based sports teams as heels because they are no longer underdogs and they all have forged dynasties and champions and teams in their respective sports. Boston Celtics, Red Sox, Bruins, and New England Patriots. Kurt Angle legitimately won an Olympic gold medal for freestyle wrestling and built heat as a heel because he was not being recognized by his peers and his crowd. He also revealed his legit injury history from his separation from his first wife and they divorced in 2008. Edge and Lita and Hardy engaged in a feud mid-2005 after Lita cheated on Matt, who were dated at the time, with Edge, who were friends during the time, which caused Matt to be fired but was rehired and the love triangle became a highlight in their story rivalry. Yeah. So that's the definition of kayfabe and the history of kayfabe in professional wrestling. Many internet journalists believe that kayfabe has gone to mainstream media and is going to politics. Like, many consider President Trump to be the heel. I'm not saying that. Listen, if you're for President Trump or against President Trump, that's not the point that I'm trying to make. It's that President Trump was considered to be the heel. You know, everybody did not like him. And, you know, Hillary Clinton was considered to be the face. And because he was the heel and he was like, nobody really liked him, this dude basically uses popularity as the heel in the politics to become the president of the United States. Which is crazy. He even said out of his own mouth that he wasn't supposed to win. Yeah, but we don't want to talk about politics today. We want to talk about the The Fresh and Fit Podcast. It's a podcast created by Myron and the CEO of Fresh. And Fresh, the CEO, and Myron. And these guys are basically the red pillars, you know. They are part of a manosphere, a subculture of internet, where you have men that wants to hold toxic women accountable for their actions. These men are highly criticized by many inside this manosphere, many inside the outside the manosphere, the YouTube space, because they're doing things that are wrong. In the YouTube community, if you're sending false copyright strikes, that's actually foul. Because if you send three copyright strikes to somebody on YouTube, they can get their page terminated. And many YouTubers are utilizing YouTube for their livelihood. They're making thousands and thousands of dollars. Some of them are multimillionaires on YouTube. And the fact that people are out here sending false copyright strikes is kind of messed up. And by these two young men sending false copyright strikes, like, nobody really likes them. And then they made these controversial comments about black women. And when you're a black man and you're making controversial comments about black women, calling them Knight Riders, saying Shaniqua and all this other stuff, you're going to be, well, the Zoomers call it ratioed on the internet, you know. You're going to face outrage. And then, to top it off, they had somebody from the mainstream industry. They had Asian Doll, you know. They got into a situation where Asian Doll and the internet already reacted because, you know, Asian Doll is mobbed up with the entertainment industry. You know, she's backed by a record label. She had a manager there. So, it seems to be going bad for Fresh and Fit, but if you understand what I've been talking about in kayfabe, you know, if you are following kayfabe, there's no such thing as bad press. If you are the the good guy, you can make money. And if you're the bad guy on the internet, you also can make money. You know, these guys are getting views and these guys are getting streams because people are actually paying attention to them. So my suggestion to everybody, if you really do not like the Fresh and Fit podcast and you really do not like how they move, my suggestion is to not comment on them. My suggestion is to... The first suggestion is not to comment on them. The second suggestion is not to subscribe and not give them any attention, because any form of attention could be a form of media. Any good attention and bad attention, you can make a lot of money off of that. You know, I don't think these guys are part of a manosphere, and I don't think they're part of a red pill. They just, you know, trolls that is basically using kayfabe to get money. All right, this is the end of my podcast. This is Black Street Chronicles. This is Jeffrey Frazier, and I'm signing off.